Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
This morning I want to address a subject that I think is very, I would say, important to our people. I've had a lot of Primitive Baptists talk to me about this, and I recently put a little article in our church newsletter concerning the idea that Primitive Baptists are Calvinists, and we get accused of that by many people. And so this morning, I would like to talk about the fact that Primitive Baptists are not Calvinist and give you the reasons why we are not Calvinist. Now, I've touched upon this subject briefly in some of my messages, and I realize as a pastor that sometimes when you're going through a subject and you're preaching on it and you just touch upon something, to me, I've really given you sufficient information about it all and everybody's on the same page. But it's kind of like the song we were trying to sing this morning and everybody had a different number. Sometimes we're not really all on the same page with something. So this morning, the Lord willing, I want to address this subject not only biblically, but I want you to be able, as a church member, to be able to articulate the differences that are between Primitive Baptist and Calvinist. And it's very, very important for us. Because we are labeled Calvinists many times by people who do not understand Calvinism, nor do they understand what we really believe as Primitive Baptists. And of course, some of the things I'm going to go over with you this morning, you hear it all the time from this pulpit concerning the doctrines that we believe in. But one of the things that I love about our people, and I'm not going to say this is what Primitive Baptists believe. I'm going to try to say that this is what the Bible teaches. We're not trying to make people Primitive Baptists. We want them to be Christians. And we want them to believe the doctrines that are found in the Word of God. So we don't stand apart and say, this is what Primitive Baptists believe. We're not trying to make you that. We want you to believe what the Bible teaches. And so I realize that we're living in a day in which doctrine is really not that important to so many people, to many people. To many people, doctrine is something that's kind of down here on the bottom. How big the church is, what all's going on in the church, how they're entertained, and the way they worship, all these kind of things in people's minds today are utmost in their thinking when they're looking for a place to go to church. But it was not that way in the early church, nor through the years of Christianity. Christians, for the most part, if they are who they're supposed to be, are supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. A disciple is a learner, somebody that wants to learn about Christ and about the doctrines of Jesus Christ that are found in the Bible. So that's kind of as a preparatory statements this morning before we actually get into the actual doctrines that differ among us. I want to say, give you some scriptures that I found as I was just looking over the term doctrine to see that today people have moved away from doctrine, to see how the Bible really talks so much about doctrine. I'm going to give you a few of these statements or a few of these scriptures, and then we're going to look into the differences. You know, doctrine was something that was once discussed and analyzed by God's people because they wanted to know the truth. That was the most important thing to people in a former day that worshiped God. And so the Bible has a lot to say about it, and we find it all through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures. There's probably close to 30 scriptures or more that talk about doctrine in the Bible. For instance, back in Deuteronomy 32:2, we find that it's written, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Even in the Old Testament, God, through the prophet, spoke about the doctrine that he would give his people and how that would, like it nourishes the grass, how that it would nourish the Lord's people when they understand and believe the true doctrines of the Bible. And I've got a lot of these. I'm not going to go through all of them. But we know that Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul told Timothy, in your preaching, you are supposed to preach doctrine. And that is something that God's people need to have an understanding of. He also wrote to Titus, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So as God's people, it should be important to every one of us that we not only teach sound doctrine, but also believe it and want to know about it. Now, doctrine is not just the principles that we're going to speak about today concerning the sovereignty of God and salvation. Doctrine includes everything from the way that we are saved by Christ to the way that we should walk in this present world. Doctrine actually is everything that's found in the sacred scriptures. It's all doctrine. So we're not going to set these doctrines of election and the sovereignty of God and say that's doctrine, but all this other stuff is something else. I know some people even set preaching apart from teaching. Somebody might say, well, that was a good lesson you gave us today. Well, my friends, preaching is teaching. And so if we're preaching, we should be teaching. There should be a lesson in every sermon that we hear because we want to learn, or maybe we may want to be reminded about something that's in the Word of God. Sometimes just being reminded of a truth is a great blessing to us. It's food that feeds our soul when we hear something that we may already have knowledge of. One thing I will mention in this is a statement that I believe was very, very prophetic by the Apostle Paul concerning doctrine that he wrote to Timothy. He said, "For the time will come," and I believe that time is today, "that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears." The time has come that the apostle spoke of that people will not endure sound doctrine. They will not. You could give it to them. You can show it to them in the Bible where it's written, and they will still refute that very truth. And one of the reasons is because they have been taught something that is not true. But we know that the Bible was written for the purpose of doctrine, for God's people to understand who God is, His person, His character, our relationship with Him, and what He has done for us, and how we're going to live with Him one day. And some of the very epistles that were written by the apostles were written to refute false doctrines like Gnosticism in the early days of the church. The whole epistle was written for one doctrinal purpose, to delineate the church's belief in God from the beliefs of many of the people around them. So I just hope I can tee this up this morning to say how important that it is for us to understand doctrine and why that we are such sticklers as a church concerning doctrine, because God is, and we hope to continue to teach the things of God's Word and show some differences. Now today I'm going to give you the primary reason that Primitive Baptists are accused of being Calvinist. And then I'm going to give you four differences between the Primitive Baptist and the Calvinist profession of faith. Now, I don't profess to be an expert in Calvinism. The only person that is was John Calvin himself. You could read his Institutes and you would find that there's a lot of things in there that are hard to understand. I haven't read the Institutes. I've got several books that are written about his doctrine that I've read about. And so I don't claim to be an expert, but I think if you would talk to any Calvinist or read any book on Calvinism, the points I'm going to give you this morning are so. Nor do I claim to represent every Primitive Baptist church in America, but I've traveled and preached among them for 30 years. So I believe I have a pretty good idea of what Primitive Baptists believe. So for those that are hearing this on CD that may live in some foreign country or in another state or somewhere else, these are the doctrines that I have heard our people teach, the doctrines that I stand for, that I believe that most of the Primitive Baptists that I've ever known stand for. And concerning Calvinism, I'll give you the differences. But first of all, let me give you the primary reason that many people label Primitive Baptist as Calvinism. The primary reason is because we believe in the doctrines of election and predestination. Now, people label us as Calvinists because we teach and believe those things. And it's a sad state in Christianity when a church is labeled something because they are believing the things that are found in the Bible. That tells us that there are many Christian churches out there that have no idea of what election and predestination of the Bible really teach. They need to be taught those things because when they hear them, they immediately assume that there is some kind of heresy involved in that doctrine. As I told you several Sundays ago, our daughter Kelly was attending a church and she began to question the pastor because he never spoke upon those subjects. Well, she understands our doctrines and she was looking for a place that taught them. And she approached the preacher and said, "You never preach on the doctrines of election and predestination." Well, that floored him because he didn't know that they were even in the Bible. And so he began, and he's a pastor of a church, been to a seminary. And so he began to approach the subject and try to look it up. And he finally came to this conclusion. Number one, he wasn't going to preach it in his church. And number two, he told Kelly that those things were only for the Old Testament people. And I wanted to say those doctrines are as plain as day in the New Testament, taught by Christ and taught by the apostles. So, I recently heard of a pastor, I believe it was the pastor at one of the churches at Girton. Some of you are from that area. That he spoke on these doctrines of election, and the church fired him because he was actually teaching the doctrines that are found in the Scriptures. That's a sad state of affair in Christianity when you have men that are preaching things that are in the Bible, but they get fired for preaching what the truth really is. So, yes, election and predestination is a reason that we're accused of being Calvinist, but they are biblical doctrines that are found in the New Testament. We find that Jesus taught the doctrine of election and predestination. Paul taught them. Peter taught them. Many of the apostles wrote about them. I will remind all of those that are listening to this message that John Calvin was born in 1509, about 1,500 years after these men taught the doctrines. Paul wasn't a Calvinist. Peter wasn't a Calvinist. Jesus wasn't a Calvinist. So these men that began to teach these things in the early church were teaching them long before John Calvin was born. I hope that would settle in anybody's mind the idea that that Calvinism is something that shouldn't be taught. Now let's look at Romans 8, 29 and 30. I could go to many, many places, and all I would be doing would be going over scriptures that most of you are very, very familiar with. But the reason I'm doing it is because of this message. Some might pick this message up on the internet, and they may be listening to this. And so I want everybody who hears this message to understand that the Apostle Paul was not a Calvinist, nor are we Calvinists, because we believe these scriptures. Look at Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Predestination is not an Old Testament subject. It's a New Testament subject. It is trying to tell the New Testament saints that God predetermined, or that he planned in advance, to save his people from their sins. That's what we believe concerning predestination. I'm going to get into the difference of us and Calvinists in just a moment. But I'm trying to show everybody that these doctrines are biblical doctrines and that are things that the church should believe. You can go further down to verse 33, where the apostle says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's the word election, how that the apostle is showing us that since God predetermined to save his people, Christ died for them, then Satan can't lay anything to their charge because Christ has paid the debt. And so we see over and over again, we find that Peter taught election in 1 Peter 1 and 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, Peter writes, that Luke taught them, that Jesus taught them. So I'm not going to go into all the scriptures this morning where this doctrine is taught. But it's all through the New Testament for those who would pick up a concordance or anything and read where these doctrines are certainly New Testament doctrines. So we're accused of being Calvinists because we believe the Bible, really? No, we believe in these doctrines, but we believe what the Bible says about them, not what John Calvin said about them. So let's get to the differences now. I've taken up enough time in setting this up for you. One of the striking differences that we find between Calvinist and, I believe, the Bible and what our people believe has to do with the purpose of the gospel. We take the historical view that the Christian church believed in its very awakening, which is simply this, that the gospel is an instrument that gives light upon the spiritual life that God's people are in possession of, that it does not give spiritual life. Now, the Calvinist takes the position that the gospel is the instrument by which a person receives spiritual life. If a person does not hear the gospel, they cannot possibly ever have spiritual life. And we certainly do not believe that. We base our view of the gospel and the purpose of the gospel on the 2 Timothy 1 and 9 and 10. So take your Bibles. We are going to turn to this verse this morning because it's a very important verse for us. Most of you, as I said, are very familiar with this. But I want you to see the differences, and we're going to move into some differences a little more clearly in this. In 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, Paul writes this, and I believe he wrote it to Timothy to make sure Timothy understood that the gospel does not give life. In case Timothy was preaching and he thought he was giving spiritual life to people, Paul wanted to make sure Timothy knew that he wasn't doing that. He says, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and here is the punchline, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What did the gospel do? It gives light upon the spiritual life that a person is already in possession of. If you'll notice this passage of Scripture, it gives the exact order of God coming first and then how the gospel gives life upon the person who has life. It says God saved us. So how are people saved? By God, by the work of Christ upon the cross. Some people will say, well, I believe that Jesus saved people upon the cross. But then when you begin to question them, you find out that they really just believe that Jesus made everybody savable, that He really didn't save anybody, but He made people savable. And now it's left up to the preacher to get the gospel to them and give them life. But this says that God saved us. Then He called us. That's spiritual, when He gives us spiritual life by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. But it's not according to our works, which has to do with a person accepting, a person doing anything on their part. But according to His own purpose and grace, that makes it by grace. It was given us or determined for us before the world began, and it's made manifest when Christ appeared. This all began to be taught and believed at the coming of Jesus Christ. So let's compare this to what the Calvinists believe. The Calvinist believes that if there is no gospel, there is no life whatsoever. And they also take the position that if a person lives in a foreign country or a place where the gospel is never preached or there are no Bibles, that all of those people are deemed to hell. Because if they were God's people, God would certainly get a preacher to them, get the gospel to them. They would hear it. They would believe it. They would respond to it. And if they didn't hear it, then all those people were never God's people. And so they all go to hell because the gospel didn't reach them. So that is very different from what the Primitive Baptists believe. We believe, Primitive Baptists believe, that God has a people in every kindred, every tribe, every nation, every place. We believe that if a person doesn't hear the gospel, they have missed out on a great blessing of knowing about their salvation. But we do believe that God has a people in places where the gospel never has been or never will be that belong to Jesus Christ, that were chosen in Christ before the world began, that Christ died for. Because of Christ's death, they will live with God in glory one day. But the gospel would give them light upon the life that they were in possession of. Another problem that the Calvinists have is, it presents a lot of problems when you ask them how the saints in the Old Testament were born of God's Spirit, because they didn't have the gospel in the Old Testament. Christ wasn't revealed yet. Or how the aborted in the womb get to heaven. They have no answers that are really credible to give a person on how these people are born again. So they all tied all to the gospel and they can't answer those questions. So I remember talking to one time. And so we get into this conversation about it. And I didn't really realize at first what I was getting into. This person just kind of attacked me because I made this statement that all the elect would not hear the gospel, but that they would be with God in glory one day. And so he began to really let me have it after a sermon. It's amazing the things preachers can get into sometimes, and you don't even know you're getting into it. But he had a very warlike spirit. And so I thought, well, I just thought for a moment. I said, well, what would you do with the person in the Old Testament when they could not hear the gospel? He said, well, they looked up at the stars and God preached the gospel to them through the stars. And I said, no, wait a minute. I preach the gospel to people every day with words, and sometimes they don't understand it. Do you believe people back in the Old Testament actually look up at the stars and understood the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ? But then I asked him, I said, what about the aborted child? How did they hear the gospel? I don't think he had ever thought about that, because he began to stammer. He could not answer that question. There are so many flaws in that theology. When you tie the gospel to a person's eternal destiny, there are so many flaws that come up that no one can answer it unless they invent something that's not in the Bible. So we find here, in this one regard, where the Calvinist is very, very closely associated with those that believe in gospel regeneration, which includes many other order of Baptist churches and many other people in the Christian life, in the Christian circles today. But they differ in some things. And I'm going to give you those differences. I don't want to go into too many nuances this morning. I don't want to confuse you. But while the Calvinist believes that if a person never hears the gospel, they weren't God's people in the first place. Let's take, for instance, somebody that might live in Africa. We always use that because we know there's a lot of people in Africa that have never heard the gospel. We hope they all do. And I've talked to people in Africa. We're establishing churches in Africa right now. I've sent Bibles to people in Africa before.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.